Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
About to get into a brand new episode of Klein Alley Show, but first, let's tell you about our good friends at the finest airport that ever was and ever will be.
The San Bernardino International Airport. Especially when there's summer travel plans, it can get expensive at these airports. That's why you gotta go to this airport, where parking is just $5 a day.
Plus, you got those easy trips, San Francisco or Provo, Utah. Maybe you didn't plan anything this summer. See how easy it is.
Don't be one of those people who has to pack your patience. Go to San Bernardino International Airport.
Okay, enough shilling. And now it's time to get into a brand new episode of Klein Alley Show.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Oh yeah, it's just after 9 o'clock. Good morning. Look at that. A surprise entering the K-Rock studios as we speak. Look at Brad Williams is here. Look at, I didn't even know. Hey, what's up, Brad?
Is my mic on?
That mic is on, yes.
All right. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, man? What brings you in? Hold on one second. I got to give away these tickets to a water park. You want to go to a water park with Laura, listener Laura?
Do I?
Yeah.
What's their height requirements?
That's a great question.
Hey, 42 inches. You're out.
I'm out.
Laura in Southgate. Good morning. You are the 20th caller right now. Congratulations. You're going to a bunch of different water parks in Southern California. Look at that. Wild Rivers, Knott's Soak City, and Six Flags Hurricane Harbor, Los Angeles. Brad will be there with his floaties.
Yeah. That's how I survive.
Hold on one second, Laura. Thank you. One second. Another chance to win coming up next hour. What's up, dude?
Hey.
I heard you were in the building.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the greatest short players in Laker history, and that's Derek Fisher, who is 6'1". So that makes me feel like crap.
The last six times we've tried to get you to come on this show for different reasons, you've given us reasons why you couldn't be here.
Yes.
How many of those were made up, or how many of those were legitimate?
What did I say? Do you remember?
Well, we always try to get you in here on St. Patty's Day, and you say you don't leave your house.
I don't. That's the most dangerous day of the year to be a dwarf. I'm not leaving my house on St. Patrick's Day. That's the dwarf version of the purge.
Allie tried to get you in here when I was not in one day, and you said you were, quote, traveling.
Yes, because I'm a traveling comedian. But now I'm taking the summer off. So I'm available.
You couldn't get booked this summer?
I wanted to. I actually, unlike some comedians, I love my family. I've heard they're good people. So I would like to meet them.
So you made a point to take the summer off, or you just didn't get booked?
I wanted to be home. I wanted to be a good dad. Okay. I took my daughter to Chuck E. Cheese. I watched her get tossed by another little kid. It was a weird thing.
Cool.
I had to go fight a five-year-old.
You know that Brad released recently, he's not asked me to plug this, but I'm sure he will eventually, but he released a YouTube special.
I did.
And it has got over 1 million views, like, in a pretty short amount of time.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about that.
What's this one called? Short and Sweet? Fun Size? What is it again?
Live on Short Street.
There we go.
That's another short. I thought you told us on the lie detector test in here.
That little
you
people, big jokes.
You said all of your little puns. You said all of my little joke puns are coming to an end. I've got nothing left.
Well, I thought that I had another name for it, and then we shot it at this amazing theater in Lexington, Kentucky, called the Lexington Opera House, that is literally located on Short Street. We got there, we looked up, like, oh, it's on Short Street. And I thought they were playing a prank on me.
Right.
I thought they just named it that because I was coming in. I'm
coming
like, what do you call this street when Bruce plays this place? Yeah. But, I'm like, all right, well, I got to call it Live on Short Street now.
And
it's too good.
And that did over 1 million. So what does that work out to on a finance, in all seriousness, like, what does that mean? What do you get paid from YouTube for that?
That's the other reason why I haven't been coming in here. Y'all can't afford me anymore.
Oh, yeah, I know. But down the hall, I guess they still can.
Well,
right now.
Because they bribed me with memorabilia. Now I got a Lakers hat signed by Derek Fisher.
Oh, that's why you came
in
here.
That's literally why I showed up.
Did you bring the hat?
Yeah.
They didn't give you the hat. That's one of yours?
I brought the hat. You can tell it's my hat because it's a really large size.
We just last hour on the phone, coincidentally, didn't know you were coming in the building today, but coincidentally we were talking to people about the worst part about being short because Vanessa, who's 4'11", says that life sucks because people always try to pick her up. And we had a ton of calls from people that try to turn off their smoke alarm with a spoon and a step stool. And this one woman said that people try to pet her all the time.
Pet her.
Like pat on the head.
Pat on the head.
Or use as an armrest.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
And that happens a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
To the point where I do free meet and greets after my shows. I'll be doing one on November 19th when I'm playing the Wiltern Theater.
Get your really tickets managed.
Now. Unbelievable.
Once again, y'all cannot afford me.
It's remarkable.
This is my charity work. I'm writing this off on my taxes.
We'll sign a hat if you want.
Get Allie to sign that lesbian hat you're wearing, because you will.
Lesbian hat. I think Lesbian Hat is playing Coachella next year. They're the first band announced.
You're not out of those either, huh?
No. those will never die. I tell my audience before the meet and greet, I go, hey, there will be no picking up, and you cannot put your arm on my head.
A little disclaimer that says,
I have to every time. I try to tell them, if you pick up a dwarf, it's not 7 years, good luck. But they just don't believe
it.
They don't believe, right?
Because if that's what you would say, if it were true, you'd say the exact same thing. Because you've got to earn the good luck. You're not going to pick him up if you're given the chance.
Now, another person had called and said it was frustrating to grocery shop because if they ever wanted something on a top shelf, they would have to wait for a person to that works there to help them out. Now, do you do the grocery shopping in your family, or do you leave that to your wife?
I leave that to my wife, but when I have done it, because I have done it, and I see something on the top shelf, that is when I become a pitcher for the Dodgers, because I start grabbing things from the lower shelves and throwing them up to the top and try to hit them. Now, there may be some lawsuits coming because I've thrown several cans of corn over the aisle because I'm not a good arm. I don't have a good arm. Not a lot of experiences playing competitive sports.
You get a little lasso. A lasso in the cereal box that you
got to do a video shopping with Brad. It's a fascinating thing to watch if you've seen it. But Brad, how long have you been married now? Because I know Allie and I were at your wedding.
Yes.
And we also are responsible for how you met your wife.
Yes.
We take full responsibility there.
Correct.
Have you made it 10 years yet?
We're 8 years. 10 years together, 8 years married.
And are you still open marriage?
What? Were we?
I thought you were. Like,
she was just in here yesterday and told us that. No, is that not true?
No, but you met on a threesome app, we were kind of open sexually when you guys first started dating.
I would say less now, because now we're like focused on
family,
being parents and stuff, and we don't want to, we don't want to make an Instagram flyer for an Eyes Wide Shut party, right, and then have that be shown to our daughter, who's.
But also, you're too rich now, right? I mean, you can't run the risk of someone else trying to take your money.
Yeah, Brad, guys cannot afford
it. I know. Brad,
this is a waste of my time.
Brad used to slum with us in Radioland. We used to be all broke together. Then Brad decided to cut us loose and go follow his comedy dreams.
Yes.
And look what happened.
And it is really telling that once I left you guys, that then I got a lot of money. I'm saying,
your career took off.
Allie, you have a bright future.
Thank you so much.
You can do so much in this business and other businesses. I'm saying, just kind of cut the dead weight.
Thanks.
Get rid of this little succubus over here.
Thank you. You're pointing at me. I know who you're talking about.
You can go off and do amazing things.
I can wear a hat like that.
Yeah, you can wear a hat that makes you look like a lawn jockey.
Five seconds before the song starts to give one more plug. Go.
All right. BradWilliamsComedy.com to watch my brand new special live on Short Street and then buy tickets for the November 19th show at the Wiltern.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
The 50th birthday party doesn't usually sound like one of them ragers. Usually it would not be one of those party goes from 8 p.m. till ... But in this particular case, celebrating the birthday of America, lots of ways to do it. Illegal fireworks, a great way to do it. Barbecues in the backyard, another way. Sending you to water parks. In this particular case, monster trucks. What says happy birthday, America, more than monster trucks?
Happy birthday, dear Salad.
Happy birthday, Salad.
Salad's probably older than America.
That is great. Oh, that could be one of the questions, Allie. We do have a bunch of things here, and all you have to do is determine, is it older or younger than America, celebrating 250 years on July 4th. That is the, of course, anniversary. 1776, if you're keeping track, you historians.
Still a very young country.
Very young, and a little Botox can look even younger, but peptides, we could get this country looking 100 by, middle of next year, probably,
totally.
Right? So here's the question. I will just share with you some things, and you just have to determine older or younger than America. It's not going to be as easy as you think, because in theory, you could go, all right, well, if Klein says that bit about talking to Ali's baby. It may feel older than America, but technically it's only about 3 years old, that bit.
The joke is probably a quarter of a century
probably.
Old.
Probably. Say hi to Manny right now. Everyone who gets theirs right, Ali's going to write your name down. One of you is going to go to Monster Jam at crypto.com, and those tickets will be yours for looking at all them monster trucks happening on July 17th. Tickets available at AXS.com. All right, what's up, Manny? Ready to go?
Hey, yeah, good morning, Klein Ali.
Okay. All right, here we go. Older, younger than America. Bourbon whiskey. Bourbon whiskey. Delicious drink. Goes great on the rocks or right out of the bottle. But is it older or younger than America?
Well, I'm going to go with Tennessee, so I'm going to go younger.
Okay, now that's a good guess because I think of bourbon whiskey as an American beverage. So,
yeah, I do too, but then I also wonder if they started making it here before they really established America as a country. Like, as soon as they landed, they were like, let's make some bourbon.
I would have assumed it was the exact same age. It was like bourbon whiskey and America are twins. But it turns out that bourbon whiskey is almost 100 years older than America.
100 years older?
Dating back to early 1700s, early to mid-1700s, they could find bourbon whiskey. So I'm so sorry, not a good place to start. Bourbon whiskey is was around...
Outside of America, I imagine?
Before America. Even if it was made here before this was America.
They brought it over?
Or they were making it, but it was not American yet. Huh. So bourbon whiskey, older than America. Who would have thought?
What you know? This is all great. These are great factoids drop at your summer barbecue.
Oh, yeah. You'll use one of these. You have to make small talk with a coworker or some parent of a friend.
You know, this drink is older than America. How old are you, honey?
Just shut up and chug it. We say hi to Anthony. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk about one of the greatest inventions ever, the spork. The spork is half spoon, half fork. It's a good thing to have if you're eating cereal and also pasta. But the question is the spork older than America?
We're going to go younger.
Now, what's interesting is the fork, Ali, I don't know if you know this, but the fork dates back all the way to the B.C. time. I mean, I'm talking before
Christ. What set us apart from the apes, right? Is our ability to make tools not just eat stuff with our hands.
So forks have been around forever. I mean, they're the oldest thing out there. I think they're older than Earth even. But the spork itself did not officially come to popular knowledge, wasn't even around until 1874, making America almost 100 years older than the spork.
But that was created in the U.S., probably,
of course it
right?
Was.
That's
of course.
Such a U.S. thing.
We're so fat. We needed that.
Fork or spoon, and then you're like, why choose?
Why choose? Who knows what I'll be eating after this?
This is America.
So congratulations, you got that right. So now we know. As I'm going over some of the greatest things ever. Bourbon whiskey, older than America. Spork, younger than America. And we say hi now to, this is Alicia. Good morning, Alicia. Welcome to K-Rock. As we celebrate America's 250th birthday coming up on a Saturday, we give you this next one now.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning. Betty White's mother, is she older or younger than America?
I'm going
to
say younger.
Okay, now Betty White, as you know, was one of the greatest old people on the planet for a long time.
I wish she'd made it to 100.
Lived a good long life, almost made it to 100.
Yeah.
And the question is Betty White's mother. Her mother, I don't know if you knew this, Ali, because I know you're a huge fan. Her name was Tess White. She was born in 1899.
Wow, so just a little bit younger.
So she's a lot younger than America. She's a lot younger than America. Hold on 1 second. You got yours right as well. We say hi to Javier and Pomona. So we celebrate America's birthday coming up. Princeton University. Javier? Ali and I did not go there, but that is the one we give you. Princeton University.
Did not accept either of us.
Me neither.
Is Princeton University older or younger than America?
I want to say older.
It's weird. I would have to assume it would be younger just in the sense that Princeton University was, I believe, founded right here in America. At least I would have thought that. But I apparently, this is one of those ones that's weird because Princeton University claims it was founded in 1746, which makes it older than America.
It wasn't just the first school.
I don't know if that's what it was.
Everyone got in back then.
Yeah,
it was the only one.
I guess it was easy. Like if you went, someone brags about going to Princeton, you should be like, "What year though?" Because if you went in the
what's a pre-K at Princeton?
Yeah, if you went to Princeton Day School. Like anyone,
I was five.
It was just the first thing with a roof on it.
Whoa!
So all right, hold on 1 second. You got that right as well. All right, this is the final one now. This is going to be tough. Older, younger than America. 250 years celebrating. And we ask, let's go to Relly in Seal Beach. Hey, Relly, good morning. Welcome to K-Rock.
It's Riley.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound right at all.
Riley, we'll go with that.
Client is Relly dumb.
The piano as an instrument. Huh. Older, younger than America.
Well, you said it was really tough. I'm going to go with younger.
Younger.
The piano has got to be centuries old, many centuries old.
Yeah, but
probably one of the first instruments.
No, Mozart playing it?
I think everything was just blown into horns for a while.
No way.
They'd rip tusks off elephants and blow into them. That was music for
other
a while.
Than, like, yeah, a tusk or a horn, I feel like piano is the first.
She said younger, but the piano has been around since 1700, which makes it super old. Well, Allie, a couple people got theirs right. Who's going to go celebrate America with monster trucks?
All right, that would be Javier. Congratulations.
Javier, my man. Monster trucks in your future. Congratulations. Happy birthday, America. What's that? All right, that didn't go well.
Again, he did not get into Princeton.
That's right. We're not a bunch of Princeton people. Hold on 1 second for your tickets to Monster Jam. Hang tight when we get back. Uncomfortable moments happened yesterday. A couple of real in-the-flesh name butcherings. Who had the bigger faux pas yesterday? Was it me in front of a famed KTLA reporter, Alina Abovian, or was it Allie insulting the future of America? It was the greatest... It was really the greatest thing I've ever witnessed here at K-Rock. We'll get to that next on K-Rock. K-Rock, Klein Alley Show. You guys seem to like it when we embarrass ourselves.
Lucky for us, we do it every day.
Happened yesterday two different times. You will decide which one of us made a bigger faux pas. I believe it was you without even a shadow of a doubt. But we will.
Well, I didn't do it on camera.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because the way that you made the other person feel was so funny. We were sitting in the office after the show yesterday.
Okay, to be fair, I've only met this person one other time.
Well, we're sitting in the office, and it's Vanessa, and it's Johnny, it's me. I think Omar's there, Jake's there. I don't know if Jake was there or not yet. I don't remember if it smelled yet. We're all sitting around, and then this intern that we have is sitting there as well. And
not even really an intern, a shadow intern. It's a college student that's going to be sitting in on a few of the shows.
I feel so bad for these people. All they can do is observe.
They're not allowed to do the rules. Right, the rules are so ridiculous. We're not allowed to have them do anything because we can't pay them.
It's built-in awkwardness.
So she's shadowing, and Vanessa says, hey, do you guys mind if...
Do you remember her name?
Doesn't matter.
Yes,
point of this story, it doesn't
matter. I know
matter.
Her name. Okay.
Go ahead, Klein.
Vanessa, what did you say yesterday? Say it.
Hey, guys, can we let our intern join you for
this interview? No, you didn't say what's her name. That's not what happened.
Actually, yeah, I don't remember.
You don't know how the stories go.
Vanessa goes,
do you guys mind if Campbell comes and follows you downstairs for the interview? And Allie, and this girl's sitting right between Vanessa and Allie. And Allie looks up and goes, who the hell's Campbell?
No, I said, who?
Yeah. She goes, who? And this girl, this poor girl.
She was like, me?
She goes.
Yeah, what is she, 20, 21?
She's 20. She goes,
Her face goes red. Yeah. So sad.
She was so embarrassed. She goes, that's me. Yeah. But Allie goes, who the hell? Like, she said who, but the face Allie gave us, who the hell is Campbell?
Okay.
And this girl sitting right there goes, that's me.
I thought that.
And she's come in multiple times.
Multiple times.
Campbell. Yeah, she even told her nickname is Soup.
Yeah, but the way that Vanessa said it, I thought she was mispronouncing something. So I thought she was saying something different. And I was like, who? What? And then I realized she was talking about the intern whose name is Campbell.
And then for the next 3 minutes, Allie sat there with a really, like, oh, I feel like such an ass face. And this girl looked really uncomfortable as well.
So and then she was like, it's okay, I forget my name all the time too.
It was so funny. She, no, tried to make Allie, she tried to make Allie feel better. So then we go downstairs and waiting for us, unbeknownst to us, is...
she gets to awkwardly stand and watch what happened as well. Yeah, she was downstairs during the interview.
We go downstairs, we're going to be interviewed by Alina Bovian.
Alina.
And apparently I was
you
calling...
You instantly become a blithering idiot whenever you're on Hot Women.
It was apparent.
Yeah. It was crazy. It's crazy to me. I got to maybe dig up some tapes. Do you have any tapes from the topless women that you would interview on Playboy TV?
I'm sure I do.
I need some of that audio because sure, I can't imagine you were smooth.
No, probably not. But with a Bovian, you know, she was sitting there and...
And she's also next level.
Next level, and
she is gorgeous.
Gives us a nice hug, and she smells nice, and she's gonna chat with us, and we're talking, and I thought I was doing a decent job.
Congratulations! I knew you'd find a job in no time. Anyway, if you still ever want to come in here, it's well, open door policy.
I didn't
know
say
if you know
those things.
This.
What you're saying, and then we're talking.
We interview
to
you, by the
so
way.
We're doing,
since you're interviewing
we're doing us. An interview. It's on camera for LA Magazine.
I didn't know you were jealous of the seat I took.
Allie, of course, immediately boxes me out and takes the good seat right next to her. So I'm off to the side.
I never want to be on the all the way on the outside because the camera is not, it's not a good angle for me. It makes my legs look big.
That's not the camera's problem. But
I just like to sandwich myself in the middle.
We're talking, and a few times I guess I mentioned her during the chat, and I'm like, Alina, you're the reason. She's asking about
this. She said, when did you know that things were turning around for the better? And, you know, we're talking about a few different milestones for the show, and then Klein decides to bring up, well, Alina, when you joined us... That was a real turning point because we realized a legacy journalist like yourself was willing to join us and cross-pollinate these audiences, and she just looked so flattered. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Allie is saying stuff that is so...
You can check the tape when it comes out.
Yeah, check the tape. But apparently I did call her... I
called her Alina a couple of times.
Yeah, Alina. Tomato, tomato.
And
same
then I said,
thing.
You know, you are the front runner to replace me when I go on maternity leave. And then Klein said, yeah, you know, Alina, you've been our number one pick. And she said, well, if you're going to pick me, at least learn to pronounce my name right.
Sass. But Vanessa said maybe that was flirty, right, Vanessa?
I would say that's a flirty, like, learn how to say my name. You know what I mean? Like, I'm being sassy, playful.
Yep.
Also just pissed.
So also just kind of angry, also pissed.
Get my goddamn name right.
Right. So we, so both of us proving that we're not good with names yesterday.
And then we went upstairs, finished the interview. It was harmless. It was very nice of her to chat with us. And then Klein, as we're leaving, goes, oh, I forgot my backpack downstairs. I was like, okay, yeah, you forgot it on accident. Please. Oh, no, I got to go downstairs again by myself and pick up my backpack.
You think I left my bag down there on purpose?
Of course you did. You wanted.
Why would you even take your bag downstairs if you're going to come back up?
Allie and I were
so that he could leave it down there.
No, Allie and I were.
Well, no, exactly. That's he totally did that on
sorry,
purpose.
Sorry, this big heavy backpack. I gotta get it.
Is my kettlebell in here? Oh, look.
Sorry, I left my dumbbells.
Allie and I were gonna go to the car.
And that picture, by the way, Klein's totally trying to flex his muscles.
So shut up. Allie and I, you guys are so funny.
You see his little vein right there?
That's so ridiculous. Allie and I were gonna go to our cars first and drop our bags off before we went downstairs to chat, and then for whatever reason, I don't know.
Because Campbell was with us, and I thought it would be awkward for us to just walk out to our cars and then come back.
Allie goes, who are you? She goes, Campbell again.
Weird shadower.
So we
said, let's just go down there.
Yeah, these interns are really good at shadowing. They really do shadow pretty closely.
They have to follow you because they can't get anywhere in the building without you.
So we went downstairs, and then I left my bag. But when I went back down there, you'll be happy to know she was long gone.
I don't care.
She was gone.
I hope you did have the opportunity to flirt with her a little more.
I didn't flirt with her at all. And there was no flirting going on there, but thanks. But
did you actually leave your bag?
No, no, I did. I left my bag. My bag was down there, and Seki put it outside.
Yeah, and then Seki was like, "Let's get some pictures."
This
and
was
so
the
we
weird
got
part.
Pictures of the three of us, and then he said, "Now I want one with just Klein and Alina."
Now this was
for
weird.
When Alina replaces you.
Yeah, that's what he said to Allie. And,
oh, that's a funny line.
Yeah. That was a great line.
And then just because of a formality, I took one with Alina.
Yeah.
And now I guess you guys can take a picture.
Yeah, that was the weirdest part.
And then she made it could be Klein and Alina.
Selena.
Yeah.
It's well, anyway.
And then she made a joke about pushing me down the stairs. It was really funny.
Thank you for the text line calling me a simp. I really appreciate that. It's good. It's good response. We got to take a quick break. We're back in a second.
Simp.
In 15 minutes, we get you into all them water parks all over again, and then we'll do some clickbait and more show after this.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. Let's find out what's happening in the world together. Then we got a brand new hour of the show to get into. Will it be the greatest hour of your life? Only one way to find out. Got to keep listening and be ready to interact with us. 800-520-1067 to call and to text. But first, there's this.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News.
We've seen plenty of movies about rescue missions in space, and there is one happening finally in real life. I will say it's not as exciting as Armageddon or The Martian or really any other space movie, because they're not rescuing a person, they're rescuing a telescope. It's a very expensive telescope. It is hurling down to Earth right now. It's worth about $500 million. It's been orbiting Earth for over 20 years, collecting data, and they've gotten a lot of cool footage from the telescope over the years, but it is starting to fall out of orbit. So as it falls out of orbit, it hurls down to Earth. They don't want it to burn up in the atmosphere because obviously it's expensive. They don't want any debris hitting anybody. So they're launching this rescue mission. It was supposed to launch this morning, but they've rescheduled it due to weather. This rescue mission will cost $30 million, by the way. They're going to try again tomorrow, but basically they just launch this like rocket launcher thing, and then they're going to push the telescope higher into orbit, just back into orbit.
Let me ask
you. And then it just kind of resumes.
How much is this telescope worth? It's worth more than $30
million? It's worth, $500 million.
Oh, okay. I guess it's worth $30 million to save $500 million.
Right, exactly.
But did they know when they put it up there it was going to fall out of orbit eventually?
I think eventually it was going to start dwindling, right? But
I don't know how orbit works.
That how much longer is it going to last if they just push it back up there? Is that going to buy them another 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
And wouldn't you think there's better technology out there now that they should just go ahead and let that one burn up and put a new one up there? Think about your phone from 5 years ago versus now. So many more megapixels.
I think, when you really start thinking about buying a new device, you can't stop thinking about it. You're right. This thing is a piece of crap.
Right, I mean, the telescope's been
hovering. It takes forever for this thing to load. What am I doing? I should buy a new one.
It's been hovering around Earth for, I don't even know how many years.
22
it's been
years.
Up there. Yeah, the technology's got to suck at this point. What, they got black and white grainy photos?
Yeah, but I think to make a new one, because it cost them $200 million just to make this one. So it probably costs now with inflation like $1 trillion to make another one.
I'm sure Timu has a version. It's cheaper. Put that one up there.
Timu NASA telescope.
They got to have one they could put up there.
$350, and I got a bath caddy.
Yeah, they got a dupe. It looks like, I see all these people walking around. They have the expensive Apple headphones on, but they're like the dupes that they got for $30 in the TikTok
shop. They do look exactly like the original
ones. Yeah, get one of those TikTok shop telescopes and put it up there. I'm sure it'll be still better than the one that's up there right now. But
the $595 telescope I bought for my kids.
Yesterday, I thought, because we talked about that story for a bit, but I thought that their concern was that it was going to crash down to Earth. But you're saying even if they can't rescue and get it back in orbit, it will burn up before it hits us?
Yeah, I think most of it. I don't think it's a threat to humanity.
Okay.
Well, I think it's mainly a threat to just destroying the telescope and having to make a new one.
I'll tell you, they're very good at these headlines to get you to click, saying where is the falling satellite going to crash telescope when it hits Earth? And then you're like, I should probably check that out, make sure it's not right there in the valley.
Yeah, but I think that even if something's that big, I think when it's hurling down to Earth, there's so much, I think it just burns up. Maybe there'd be tiny pieces, but I don't think it'd be anything big enough to hurt anybody or kill anybody.
But you hear about those giant blocks of airplane ice poop that fall out of the airplane toilets and crash through people's roofs all the time.
Yeah, but they're not going through the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah, but they're still falling a long distance.
They are.
30,000 feet's a lot, Allie. It's a lot.
You know what? Well, we should call NASA and let them know.
How often is that happening?
It feels like once a week, dude. It feels like it's happening all the time. Okay. It really does.
Because of the recent earthquakes, people in California are panic buying earthquake preparedness kits. And yes, there were several earthquakes in Venezuela. There's also been some in Japan. There were even a couple in California, Northern California. So it's triggering this big surge of orders for disaster supplies across California. One of the earthquake preparedness companies said that their kits are now flying off the shelves, and families and individuals are driving the demand and panic buying. And it's what we do. You know, we've always felt like, yes, an earthquake could happen at any time, and still, after all these years of living in California, I'm not prepared.
You have a kit?
I have this
No.
Yeah, Omar, you have a kit, right?
Yeah, I have this little red bag that I bought about 15 years ago. I'm sure none of that stuff in there is, you know, maybe just like the water bags are good. All the food and all the powder and stuff's got to go
That's
bad, right?
That's the other thing, is that you have after to be years? Newly prepared. Right. Because yeah. we talked to Dr. Lucy, who's the earthquake expert, and she has earthquake stuff in her car that she replaces every couple of years. She has something in her garage. Like, you have different ways of preparing, and you have to be refreshing every couple of years. We can barely do it once.
She said that most of us are not prepared, and then most of us that actually are prepared are the wrong type of prepared, because, like Omar, I also have that bright red backpack.
Yep.
It weighs a ton, and inside of it, it's got like a whistle and a bunch of other
crap.
It's
got radio. It's got a hand crank radio.
It's terrible. It is really like, and then
when the
and
earthquake hits, all of us are just going to be standing around with red backpacks that are totally useless.
Yeah, useless red backpacks.
Like, does anyone need dry, dehydrated sausage?
Everything in there has been expired for a long ass time.
Yeah.
We're all going to get so sick.
I told you, remember that time I did have that Duck Dynasty branded survival kit? It was like somehow branded by the guys in Duck Dynasty. It was a giant food bucket that was going to last me for...
I think that the one I've seen those. Costco?
I don't remember how I got it or where I even got it from, but I know that my wife went through the menu and she threw the whole thing out and she goes, we will never eat any of this. I go, if the option is this or cannibalism, trust me when I say this bucket of food is going to look great.
I don't know.
But it was like all of this, like it was like dehydrated grits and like all these other things. And she's like, we're not eating this stuff. I'm like, this is emergency stuff. Like, you don't have a, you're not making decisions at that point going what I feel like.
Your wife would rather starve than eat dehydrated grits.
100%. 100%.
I think she would look at you and be like, you have to sacrifice yourself for this family.
Yeah. If you care at all, you'll let us eat your arm. Yeah. But we're not eating that Duck Dynasty grits. We're not eating that grit stuff.
Here's a company that's doing great right now. Biscoff cookies. Those little cookies that you normally only eat when you're at 35,000 feet. Is having one of the best years of their lives, and they've solidified their place as a top five cookie in America. This is largely due to a viral TikTok cheesecake recipe trend where you put vanilla yogurt, layer it over the Biscoff cookies, put some honey, some other kind of variations, there's a bunch. You let it sit, and the yogurt absorbs into the cookie, and it makes this moist, cakey consistency that basically is like a healthy, high-protein cheesecake.
Well, that cookie by itself is trash.
I think it's a good cookie.
The cookie butter they got, the Biscoff spread, that's where it's at.
Well, that's another recipe is you put that on top of this.
It needs
to
spread. I mean, in the same way that you know, blue cheese needs buffalo wings to survive in this world. It's a similar situation going on
like
over there.
It's kind of like a prison cheesecake.
Yeah, I could understand, but it's fascinating that some brand that's been around forever and was doing fine
it
but
just
not
has
great,
a whatever
all of a sudden has a viral recipe and now they're having the greatest year of their life ever. Well, there you have it. Some of the stuff happening in the world. We get into a brand new hour of the show in a moment.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.